Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, here we go, 6:13, Monday morning, highs of 72 today. Nice outside. It just feels great. If we could have it like this all the way through the week, it'd be nice, but you don't get everything you want, right? Never. High, right now it's 54 degrees. Tomorrow, low humidity, highs of 79, and it warms up for all those activities, Jazz Fest, NFL Draft, Zurich Classic, Pelicans game Saturday afternoon. Highs Thursday of 82, 84 Friday, 86 on Saturday, and 86 on Sunday. A little bitty chance for showers on Sunday, but for the most part, dry. David Schultz joins us now, professor of political science at Hamline University, also a professor of law. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you're well, too.
I am. It was on April 3rd, 2023, that the president was indicted for the trial. That's the charges for which he'll go on trial this morning, starting at 8:30 Central Time, 9:30 in New York. So let's talk about that, David. First of all, what's he charged with?
What he's charged with is business fraud, felony business fraud. And let me explain here, is that what the allegation is that he directed his attorney at that point, Michael Cohen, to make a series of payments to Stormy Daniels in order to silence her so that any stories about an alleged sexual affair would not come out during the 2016 election. And normally, this would be misdemeanor fraud, basically false entries in books, and so forth like that. But because the prosecutor is arguing that Trump did this because he was trying to cover up another crime, that is a violation of federal campaign election law, under New York law, it bumps it up to a felony business fraud case.
And so the misdemeanor is that he paid hush money?
Hush money. Yeah. Hush money. Yeah, hush money. And that would just normally, and basically, actually, I should correct myself and say it's that he put false business entries to cover up that he's paying hush money. Paying hush money is not illegal. It's when he basically made false entries in the, or basically made false entries in the business records to cover it up. So that's the problem. And then that would just have been misdemeanor fraud. But because he made the disbursement, this is what's being alleged, by the way, because he did this, these payments, to silence Stormy Daniels so that her story wouldn't impact the 2016 election, under New York law, if you commit business fraud and the purpose of the fraud is to hide another crime, then it basically ups it from misdemeanor to felony. So that's why he's being charged with a felony. He made illegal business payments through his corporation in order to conceal another crime.
I'm trying to figure the other crime here, because certainly he was trying to protect his, well, allegedly he was trying to protect his reputation, or maybe he wasn't. I don't know. We'll get into all that in a second. But why would that be illegal? Every candidate tries to protect their reputation, right? And it seems as though I'm going to the second part of the crime, the second crime here, allegedly, which would make it a felony. Every politician, I would think, has almost done things like this, or a lot have done things to quiet people, to keep their story from coming out. No?
Correct. Well, the thing is, if he made a disbursement or spent money for the purposes of trying to help or influence his 2016 presidential election, he has to disclose that disbursement. So, for example, if he had actually just listed somewhere, although it's probably inappropriate campaign expenditure, if he had listed and said, yes, I'm making a $125,000 payment to Ms. Daniels, that, you know, for services rendered or something like that, and disclose that under his federal filing forms for running for president, then he's complied with the law. But again, what's critical here is because this was an expenditure to try to, under federal law, to try to help his campaign, his presidential campaign, he's required to disclose that under federal law.
And I'm not trying to get too far in the weeds here. I'm just trying to figure out where it becomes illegal. Is it because it was campaign funds that he didn't account for properly, allegedly?
Well, it was funds that he was disbursing through his corporation for that purposes, and he had to disclose that.
Okay. So the president doesn't have to prove, former President Trump doesn't have to prove anything, right?
Correct.
The prosecution has to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. And if they, who do they have to prove it to, first of all? Because they got two courts going on here. They got the court of public opinion. Then they have the actual courtroom and the actual jury, right?
Well, from a lawyer's perspective, I'm first more worried about I've got to prove it to a jury on the prosecutors that I have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And from Trump's perspective, I think he has to at least initially hope that the prosecution doesn't do it, you know, because, you know, this is a felony. You know, this brings with it possibility, although I don't know exactly New York, all the nuances of New York law, so you have to pardon me on that. But it's a felony, which brings with it, you know, possibility of incarceration, you know, if you were to be found guilty. So I would be worried at this point to say, prove the case, or rather put this, rephrase it, hope the prosecution doesn't prove its case, because then I don't go to jail.
Tell me about the composition of the jury. Who is it that the prosecutors have to prove this case to?
Well, it's an interesting jury. It's about evenly split male and female, and it includes some attorneys. It includes a couple of people who are attorneys. It includes some people who didn't have, let's say, a college degree, a pretty good random sample. And also, when I looked at an article there, people who get their news from a variety of different sources, ranging anywhere from New York Times, New York Post. I think there might have been some Fox viewers, et cetera, et cetera. It's actually a reasonable composition. And remember, for the listeners to note here, is that both the prosecution and the defense had a say into the composition of the jury. That if there was anybody who clearly said, I hate Trump, I can't stand Trump, the defense would have been able to push that person off the jury. So this is the compromise that both the prosecution and defense reached in terms of who they think is an appropriate jury to hear the case.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back, David. It's interesting to have a couple of attorneys on the jury. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, or good or bad for whom, because I guess sometimes they can look at it dispassionately, but I don't know if then they become the judge and prosecutor and defender themselves. We'll talk about all that when we come back. I know you're a law professor as well. David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, former President Trump, going on trial today. Felony charges, if they can prove both parts of this. 620 traffic now, WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Six 25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Schultz, professor of political science and law at Hamline University. Former President Trump set to go on trial this morning, or opening arguments at least. And part of the problem the prosecution has is that their star witness is a convicted felon and perjurer. How do they get around that? Well, I'm talking about Cohen, who was the president's lawyer.
Well, they're going to have that's going to be one of the difficulties. I mean, they're going to have him, and I think one of the other witnesses is going to be Stormy Daniels. And not that I'm going to sort of say anything bad against people who star in the adult film industry, but she's probably going to have some credibility issues also.
I met her, you know.
I did not know that.
I did, yeah. She was in studio, not here, but down the hall. So I went and said hello to her, and she's, a lovely lady. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I read her autobiography. She seems like a decent person, you know, but I have no idea how a jury is going to view her. But you're absolutely correct here, because I think what's going to happen is that the defense is going to question the character of Michael Cohen, because he is a convicted felon. And it's going to be a question of seeing at this point, does the jury basically buy his credibility? We're going to find that out in the next few weeks.
So one thing I don't get is in 2016 in Iowa, Donald Trump said, candidate Trump, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose voters. So why would he care about this? If he can shoot somebody and care about not lose voters, why does he really think this would have I guess is a prosecution, or is this part of what the defense says? It's like, what are you talking about? If anything, this is going to make him go up in the polls.
Well, actually, it's interesting here. If polls can be believed at this point, among people who identify themselves as swing voters, about 50% of them are saying that a Trump conviction would push them away from voting for Donald Trump. Now, keep in mind, this is for the few swing voters that are out there that have not figured out yet who they want to vote for, and we have to, however much we can trust the polls. If that's correct, that 50% could be enough to move the election and shift the election in those, you know, five or six swing states and push it over to Joe Biden. So I think that's why he's potentially concerned at this point. This could be one of the events that really does shift the momentum of the election.
What if Trump says, yeah, I did it, but you know what? I did it because I wanted to protect Barron and whatever his wife's name was at that time. I get him confused, but I wanted to protect them. I wasn't doing it for the election. What does that make it then, a misdemeanor? Does he cop to the misdemeanor in essence?
It might reduce it down to a misdemeanor in terms of what's happening at that point. But it's still going to be up to a jury, because if Trump testifies, and that's still a big question here, mm-hmm. if he testifies, and part of the job of juries is assess credibility. I mean, there's this. I'm going to say the one thing that is great about juries, you know, they get to eyeball people. You know, you get on the witness stand, you say things, they look at you, and this is where, I don't know about you, this is where I trust people. Mm-hmm. Trust people to look at other people and say, you know, are they lying? Are they telling the truth, et cetera, et cetera? And that's what's going to happen here.
If I was Trump's attorney, I would ask the judge to have him restrained and gagged to keep him from taking the stand. If I was Trump's attorney now, because I don't think you want a guy that's a loose cannon like him, if you're representing him, on the stand under oath, do you?
I agree with you on this one. I think there's too many risks. And plus, we're going to find out today, the prosecution has asked for the judge to rule on whether or not, if Trump takes a stand, can they bring in evidence of prior bad acts. For example, can they bring in and tell the jury all about the issues of, let's say, the Jean Carroll verdict, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What happens is that they can bring a lot of that in, but if he testifies and puts on there, they can bring absolutely anything. If I can call it the kitchen sink, they can bring anything they want in at that point to try to impeach him. And I think if I were his attorney, I would be very, very hesitant to put my client on the stand, because I think there's also the risk not only of him exploding, but let us just simply say, you know, he stretches the truth and there's probably possible perjury issues
here. Yeah, he opens himself. It's like a Godfather. He opens himself up to all kinds of things. But then again, David, I wouldn't bet against him taking the stand, because knowing him and the ego that he has, thinking that he could convince anybody of anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'd be interesting to watch. Thank you, David. We'll talk to you again.
Sure. Bye.
David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. We'll talk to David Botner when we come back, executive director of the New Orleans Mission, about low-barrier homeless shelters and why they may not.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.